Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Hey guys, I've got Chris, my wife, here with me. Just wanted to take a moment to talk about our Vision Builders, which is just about to come up in our church service.
Yeah.
And Chris, there's so many people who are tuning into our podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to make sure that everyone had the opportunity, if you've been blessed through this ministry, to be able to give and become part of this ministry, which is obviously not just touching Sydney, but reaching to the four corners of the earth, it seems. Somebody from Russia was sending us an offering just this last week, and they said, we've been so blessed by the tools and the teaching that we've been receiving, we wanted to give. And it wasn't unsubstantial either. They were seriously wanting to support and become partners with us.
It was wonderful. We want to get the word of God out across all the nations of the earth, and sometimes some nations just don't have access to, you know, big local churches or ministries, and podcast is just the most amazing way with all the new technology to receive the word of God and to be a part of, of this ministry.
Exactly.
So it's very exciting. I want to thank you for all your support.
Yeah.
You know, I love that bit in the Bible where Jesus was about to do that first miracle, but he didn't know he was going to do a miracle. Nobody knew, but his mother said to the guys at the wedding, whatever he says to do to you, do that.
Do that.
And I love that, and I feel that that's the whole key to
best
giving.
Advice a mum could give anybody.
Exactly. And out
do whatever that, Jesus tells you.
Yeah, out of that obedience, a miracle happened.
Totally.
Of supply.
And we believe that everybody who gives to the Lord will never be cheated out of their reward, won't lose in any way. God is not trying to take from us. He's trying to bring blessing into our lives. And certainly giving is one of those ways that blessing doesn't just flow out of us, but flows to us.
Yeah, and it's part of our personality as a Christian.
Totally.
Generosity.
Exactly.
To him that is generous will more be given.
Exactly. In fact, I would think that generosity is possibly one of the first signs that you actually have become a Christian.
Yeah.
When Zacchaeus was converted, he had been a taker illegally and immorally from a lot of people. But as soon as he was converted, he became a giver.
Yeah, he did.
And he wanted to be a blessing to other people. And so it's a sign that Jesus is in our lives when we become givers. So we simply wanted to talk about that area so that you might feel, if you are able to and if you're inclined to send an offering and to become partners with us and to become part of the support system right around the world that is getting this message and the Word of God out to so many millions of people. So I wanted to encourage you to give. Please go to myc3church.net and you'll find all the instructions for that on there. We're going to come around the Word of God right now. Thank you very much, musicians and singers. Give them all a big hand again, would you? Fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful people. Amen. Well, God is good, the devil's bad, but we win, right?
Yes.
Exactly. So I want to talk about this concept of the mission statement and the building the church and you and I being involved in what the baptism of the New Testament is all about. And this series called No Turning Back is about baptisms, and we're going to take 3 weeks to talk about them. I'm going to do a different message tonight on this whole subject. And I want to just take a second to introduce the idea of baptism, because we have this idea of what baptism is, and in some people's minds, it may be that it's getting sprinkled. Now, I want to give you the background to the word baptism. When King James was wanting his own version of Scripture, he asked his bishops to translate out of the Latin version they had at that time. And so as they were translating, everything was going swimmingly until they came across this word bapto. And the Latin word bapto means to completely immerse. It means to bury, to put under. It was used when you wanted to turn a white handkerchief red, you would have a pot of red dye and you'd immerse the handkerchief or whatever, the cloth in there, and you'd bring it out and it had been transformed. And so when they came across the word bapto and they realized that King James, who was also the head of the church as well as the head of the state, had not been completely immersed, but had rather been only sprinkled, they had a problem. Their relationship with the king was not that cordial at the best of times. And so they were wanting to keep their heads on their shoulders. And so they said, well, let's just anglicize the word and nobody will know what it means. It'll just we'll say baptism and everybody will assume that is how it is. Now, I don't want to appear pedantic about a small point, but that becomes rather a strong point, because if we have the concept that we get sprinkled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is kind of a sprinkling of the Holy Spirit, and fire is like a sprinkling of fire on us, or that church life is just a sprinkling of church life. We get this idea that we've still got our whole life to live by our agenda, but we've got this kind of sprinkling of Christianity on us. We've got a sprinkling of bits and pieces in our lives. And so to have a real immersion into Christ is the only way that Jesus has called us to live. And so once we receive Jesus, he is saying, I want you to actually be immersed 100% into everything that I've called you to do. You can't do this on a halfway level. You can't do it half-baked. You can't have half yourself in and half out and just kind of have a sprinkling of what we're doing in Jesus' name. So in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. And so being immersed into the body of Christ is what he has called us to be. And then it says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom, from Christ, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I mean, that is an astonishing little message right there. But it starts with being baptized into one body. So Jesus is talking about us like a body. He's saying, like your body. So your thumb is baptized into your hand. It's completely immersed into your hand. It's not hanging around, occasionally turning up for the hand. I mean, yesterday I did a little workout. My left leg's feeling a little worn out, you know, a bit smashed by the squats and whatever else. I get up this morning. This left leg says, I don't want to get up. I'm staying in bed. The rest of you can go, you know. So, but that never happens, because every member of my body is committed to the other member. And I'm functioning as one body. It's not like I can leave a piece of me somewhere else. And God has called us together. Now, we live in an age when the idea of being a Christian is quite individualized. It's like it's just me being this person on my own as a Christian with God. But that is not how the New Testament is written. It's written to you all together. And we are all together actually called into a destiny. And it says in that scripture in Ephesians 4:16, we are joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. That means every connection in the church between bones, the structure of the church, every connection that you have with other believers in the church causes growth. If we are isolated, we are not going to find ourselves thriving. But God is intending that you are a thriving believer and that we are a thriving church. There's no way he just wants you to survive. He wants you to thrive in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, go ahead. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Is that working? You can bring it up. Thank you very much. In 1 Corinthians 12:21, this is Emily Mason, people. She's been working hard to make this thing go. Amen. Yeah, so give her a hand. Yeah, she does a great job. So in 1 Corinthians 12:21, it says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. My ear can't say to my mouth, I have no need of you. Or else, you know, I can't even say, like, I'm sick of being an ear. I want to be a mouth. And look at this in Romans 12:4-5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, you know, some people are medical people. You know, they love handling blood and organs and all that stuff. Me, I faint. I'm just horrific at those kind of things. I can't. So when I became a pastor, it was a real problem for me to, you know, because I thought, well, pastors have to visit people in hospital. And if you just come to me and tell me you got a little cut, my stomach turns. Going into a hospital, I'm looking at people and I'm feeling dizzy in the head. And I'm not good at that. So I thought, God, you know, I need other people to do this. I can't do this. I went to, in the early days of this church, I went to do a hospital visit, and this is the day I realized I'm not good at this. I went in, and there was this little baby that was about to pass away, and it was such a tragic situation. But I walked into the ICU unit, and there were five of the incubators, and here was this little baby there with all these tubes and things, and they were going to take it off the machine that was keeping it alive, and they wanted the pastor to be there. And I walked in, and I'm going, oh, no, because I look around, and the whole room is hot, and I can see these lines go on the machines, and I could feel my head starting to spin. And then I saw those little white dots you see when you're going to have a faint. Some of you never had that, but you go gong, 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 and it's like a snowstorm in front of your eyes. And so I thought, look, I can feel this faint coming on. I'll reach out and hold on to this bench and let the faint pass, and then I'll be okay at the end of it. So I reached out and got a hold of the bench, but it wasn't a bench, it was a trolley. And the trolley just went boo right out through the swinging doors into the hallway, and I'm lying on the floor, go, ah! The nurse comes and says, are you all right? And her voice sounded like, are you all right? It was like way off. I wanted to say, yeah, I'm fine, but I can't talk, my mouth won't work. So I realized then that I needed other people who are equipped by God to go do hospital visitation, who really care about, you know, like those sort of moments and aren't going to be overwhelmed by, at the sight of blood. And there are a lot of things that I am not wired up to do. That's why in Corinthians it said, you cannot say you have no need of anybody else. I need you. Say it to your neighbor, I need you. There are things that person can do. I want you to, hey, direct it to the stage right now. Amen. I'm not a needy person, but gee, you didn't have to do that. Oh, that's so crazy. We have a need for each other. Some of us don't want to admit that, but the Bible says don't say that. Don't think that you can do this life on your own. We cannot do this life on our own. We cannot do the Christian journey on our own. It's not an individualized life that He's called us to. It's a corporate, united family life where we do it together. That's why connect groups are so very important. That's why new connect group leaders are heroes. You are the backbone for who we are in terms of joining people together. And if you're not in a connect group, please join one and then multiply that connect group. Multiply it every 3 months. Find a leader in there and start a new one and keep starting new so that we grow from the grassroots up as well as from gathering on the weekend. And as we can become disciple makers in those connect group settings, we will find ourselves fulfilling the great commission that Jesus said. He said, go into all the world, make disciples. When people get born again, they're born. But disciples aren't born, they're made. And they are made by being involved with other believers at a closer level than just church in the weekend, at a level where we're eating together around a table and just talking about Jesus. The mission statement of our church, I don't know if you're aware of this, is save lost people. Boy, that's thick. Okay, I'm just gonna thin it down a tad, all right? There we go. Save lost people and then make disciples and then empower saints. Everybody say that. Save lost people. Make disciples. Empower saints. That's us. That's it in the simplest form that I can think of. This one here, make disciples, happens. Jesus says, I want you to baptize people in the name of the Father. And this is to baptize them, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when we baptize people in the Father, that's baptizing them into the house of God. Baptize them in the Son is baptizing them in the Word of God. Because Jesus, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and His name was Jesus. He said, unless you eat my flesh, you have no life in you. So that means you need to digest the Word of God. We live by the Word. And the Holy Spirit is, it's prayer and praise. Those things we do that exercise our spirit. How simple is that? That is how you make disciples. That you have people around you who are in the house of God, and that you fellowship together, building each other up. And then if you're in the Word of God, you're in Jesus, you're in Christ. And being in the Holy Spirit is being in prayer and praise. Now, let me take you to this scripture in Psalm 92, verse 12, which I love this passage. It is an astonishing piece of the Bible without any shadow of a doubt. It is about being planted in the house. Ever since we started this church, this has been like one of our most favorite scriptures that we have hovered around in the early days, especially. Psalm 92, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You flourish and grow. How? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And then in verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in an old age. Those over 80 years old, shout hallelujah. Okay. It went well in the chapel service, amen. They shall be fresh and flourishing. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Flourish is used three times in those three verses. That is about you thriving in life, flourishing. Could you say to yourself or to somebody else, my life is flourishing? Flourishing circumstantially, relationally, emotionally, mentally, financially, in every area, I am flourishing. That is the will of God for your life. That you'd be in the house of God and you would be flourishing. Being planted doesn't mean I just dip my roots occasionally in the soil and wave it over the water every now and then. And it planted, a tree is never going to bear its fruit unless it is planted. Sometimes we want the result without the process. Sometimes we want to have the fruit that's at the end of a process. And, you know, a lot of people want to circumvent that and buy lotto tickets and hope that they can just get around the whole idea of what it takes to accumulate wealth and to build up fortunes like that, or to take a shortcut to a great relationship, or to take a short. There are no shortcuts to genuine flourishing in life. And to be planted is so very important. I've watched believers over the 47 years that we've been pastoring people in church life, and the ones who let their roots go down, they flourish. The ones who are transient and kind of like a pot plant, that they got a pot around their roots. They're kind of in church going like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll try this out for a little while. Oh, yeah, like, I've been hurt before in church. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, there it is. Yeah, no, I'm off. Pick up my pot. I'm off somewhere else. And it's like, and I've had people come to us who want to do ministry, say, can we use your church as a base? I said, no way. This is a family. Go to your family, say, can I use you as a base? Yeah, it's not about that. It's about the other way round. Can you use me? What can I do? How can I help build? Because every part doing their share, through the effective working of every part doing its share, causes the growth of the body. Causes the growth of the body. Causes the growth of the body. I said causes the growth of the body. And when we are planted, it means I am actually engaged. It the roots of a tree, you know, however long and deep and wide they go, it's going to determine how big this tree grows. And you can't grow any bigger than your root system. And God has called us to flourish. like a cedar in Lebanon, like a palm tree. And so when we say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to get planted. How many people do I know who are, I grieve, so it's such a pain to watch people who are lost in life. They don't know where they're going. Got no idea. I'll try this out. I'll have a go at this. Maybe get married. Oh, that didn't work. Do this one. And oh, I'm not sure if I want kids. And, you know, yeah. Oh, well. I read something said the other day, my wife and I have decided not to have kids. The kids are taking it pretty bad. It's like, but how painful it is when I think how clear it is to me as to where I'm going and what I'm going to do, which means I've closed off all kinds of other options. There's all sorts of things. There's way more things that I'm not going to do than that I am going to do. There's like 1,000 things that I could do, but I'm not going to do them because I have become immersed in a house of God, in the vision of the church to make disciples and to build a house of God. And so the point of being planted is that our full potential is only going to be realized once we become consistent, reliable, long-termers in the house of God. I put up an Instagram photo this last week that some of you may have seen of these gum trees out here all around this property. I remember when we planted those and we came up from Brookvale. I said, everybody, we're going to go up to Brookvale. I'm going to give you a tree each and we're all going to go plant a tree. And I think they might have paid for the tree or something like that. We did anything we could to try and buy the land, build a building. Amen. So we all got our little pot plant with trees this tall, just that tall. And every day when I drive on this property and I look at those trees, it's breathtaking. It takes my breath away because I remember when this was just long grass, chicken sheds, and dead horses. And just a horrible, you know, I mean, beautiful piece of land, but just in terms of its condition, it was a mess. And to see what God has done in clearing away, but then in all these magnificent trees, I mean, I am your original tree hugger. And I love trees. I talk to them, and this is confession time. Yeah, it's just so awesome, Mr. Tree. And we had a tree out here. I talked to it too much because it grew too big. And so we had to chop it down. And so I've calmed down my talking to trees effort. Jesus talked to trees, people. Amen. I'm in good company. And he cursed one, so it stands to reason he could bless one as well. And the fact is, you know, we can bless our whole environment with our words. But to look at these trees, and I think that's just like some of our people. That's like a Richard and Kate Forsyth, been here since the beginning, so planted. I'm not concerned they're going to be, you know, going somewhere else or whatever and got to try and stabilize them or just keep them from drifting. I remember Kevin and Mary Wood over here. And when we first started to build this building, I think they might have been the first people to bring an offering for the building fund. And if I remember, it was a caravan. It was a caravan, right? Nod your head. Yeah, yeah. They gave a caravan to the house of the Lord. I think it was to buy a grand piano. Yeah, and somebody said, here's the money for the grand, here's a grand piano, but I need some money for it. And so they said, oh, we'll give you our caravan. And so we played a caravan piano. It was amazing. I remember that. That was in DY Thupere. I remember so many of these people who have been planted. They've been planted in this church like 37 years. Their daughter works for Global C3. Kirsty, and she's gotten married to Phil, the barista. A barista guy over there. Stand up, you two. Stand up. Yeah. That is the result of a caravan piano, people. Amen. Flourishing in the house of God. Yeah, you can be seated. And she is like one of the most brilliant secretaries in the world. And if you want good coffee, you got to go and see Phil, her husband. The thing is, I could go through 1,000, 2,000 people that easily in our congregation who have flourished in life over the years simply because they said, I'm committed. And once we've made that brilliant idea in our hearts saying, we're going to actually do this, we're going to live for God and make sure that we are stable, reliable. When I'm looking for people that we can build a church on, you don't go looking for who's got the most talent around here, who can do magic tricks the best. Not magic tricks, you know, like, I mean, who can pull it off, who's got the charisma, who's got the talent. That is not what God is looking for either. He is looking for things like faithfulness. It's great to have faith, but faithfulness is even higher quality. Because in the end of the time, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he's looking for that faithfulness that he can build on. You want somebody who turns up, who's there, who's got reliability that you can build on. You don't want a piece of the foundation that is here, then gone. It's maybe there, maybe not, could be on, could be off, could have a good attitude, maybe not have a good attitude. You want a consistent, predictable regularity that is deep in the heart of people. Now, that might sound boring to you, and to tell you the honest truth, it is. But that's the best kind of boring you could ever have. The best kind of, I heard somebody recently, they were mocking, oh, I'll never have a 9-to-5 job, and this guy's broke. Baroque, maybe. He's sort of thinking, you know, I got this dream, and he's quite old already. And I'm going like, man, you never want to knock anybody just doing a 9-to-5 job. They're paying off their house. They got their kids in school. They're doing it right. Might sound boring to you, but that's a good boring, because at the end of your days, on the long view, they're going to end up with an accumulation of the compounding of all those years of effort that were piled on one another. The most wealthy and cleverest investor in the world, Warren Buffett, he only invests long-term, never does a short-term investment. He's not a trader. He says, I just buy companies that I like or shares in a company that I understand them, I love what they're doing, and I think the management is clever and doing a good job. So his thinking is not tricky. It's just simple. And it's the same in the kingdom of God, that those who are planted in the house of God, they're going to flourish in the courts of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering. Genesis 28, 17, it says, and he was afraid. This is Jacob. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. He had slept down in a certain place that was called Luz, L-U-Z, which meant tree of nuts. And he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw a stairway to heaven with angels ascending and descending. And when he woke up, he said, wow, how awesome is this place? I didn't realize where I was going to sleep in. I didn't realize how powerful this place was. This is a place where prayers are answered and angels are ascending and descending. And I have got a connection with heaven in this place. And then he renamed it. He said, I'm going to call it the house of God, Bethel. I did think this was a house of nuts. Some of you thought that when you first came here. And we're all clapping. Woo, you go, wow, these guys are nuts. But then something happens and you go, well, maybe I didn't quite get that right. Maybe it's a little more awesome than I thought. Maybe there's something going on here where there's a connection with heaven. It's a gate of heaven. And you and I are involved in building this gate as big as we possibly can for 4.5 million people in the city of Sydney. And I believe that at Presence Conference, there's going to be the launching of thousands of new leaders. Thousands of new leaders, not just pastors who are going to start churches, but thousands of Connect Group leaders. And I believe those Connect Group leaders who are already in action, when you take your Connect Group along, the power of God will touch that group and you'll find yourself multiplying. You'll find that gifts will be mobilized and activated in people's lives that have been lying dormant. I know what night I'm preaching. I'm not going to tell you, but I'm so excited about it. I can't wait to get there. I couldn't wait to get here this morning because I'm so excited about preaching this message planted in the house of God. I know, look, that the only things I preach are what I completely believe. You will not find me up here preaching something, maybe, maybe not. I know that this, what I'm preaching to you here this morning is one of the most powerful things you can do with your life. That if you can get planted in the house of God, you will flourish. Because to watch people who do not get planted and who drift and be transient and not flourish in life. Before they know it, life is passing by, and to find their way back into that. To be committed to Christ is to be committed to his body. is to be planted and joined and connected. And it's not something each weekend, I mean, never in our home would you hear us say like, what do you think, kids? Do you think we should go to church this weekend? That's not part of our culture. Not, we go to church. We're just there. And do you know what? There'll be moments in each of our children's life where they kind of, you know, kids growing up, they think, oh man, I can take a break, can I? And they've taken a break. Sometimes it hadn't been that good either. But I tell you what, every one of them eventually finds their way back into the house of God, because what you planted in their hearts as a child, and even if when you are feeling like you don't want to do that, for your children's sake, for your legacy's sake, for the others in your connect group's sake, for other people's, if we could live our lives for others and sacrifice to ourselves sometimes, we're going to find ourselves being deeply satisfied as a believer. The most frustrated person on earth is a selfish Christian who's trying to live a Christian life where you are getting your needs met and you're being blessed. The most fulfilled person on earth is living a meaningful life when they are laying down their life to be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. And you being in this house today is being a blessing to others. There's no doubt about it. Just being here is serving the Lord. You may think, how am I serving the Lord? Being here is encouraging. If not to anybody else, to me. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here, that you said, yeah, I'll be there. And I'm going to be in the house of God. But then you're going to find that the kickback to you is far exceeds anything that we could ever do for anybody else. We find ourselves getting reinvigorated, revived, and the fresh power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And I'm praying that every single one of you are able to make it into presence so that you soak in that oil. You find yourself refired and capturing that vision again instead of thinking, oh man, I'm just enduring life. You need to be enjoying life and flourishing and thriving and feeling like, yeah, life's good, instead of it getting you down on the inside of your mind and thinking, oh, I'm just grinding through. God has got a better life than that for you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you all to stand up as the band comes right now. And you know, when we establish the church as a gate of heaven, it becomes that because we're praising God, because we're worshiping God. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me regarding Presence Conference when we first started that conference was that he was putting a seat for himself on the stage. And I said, what is that for? He said, that's for God. That when people come on an altar call, he's going to look in their hearts and he'll select an army for his son. God searches our hearts. He looks inside and he knows. It's not to condemn you. It's not to make you feel uncomfortable or awkward. But he comes to see the measure of saying, I'm immersed for you, Lord. I want to give myself for you. It's not just preachers or Christian workers that need to do that. All of us, if we are yielded to the Lord and say, I want to be deep in your house, Lord. Touch my life here today. Use me. I'm going to ask us all to close our eyes shortly, and then I'm just going to ask, if you're saying that, use me. I'm here, Lord. I'm yielding my life and immersing my life into your purposes, your program, your power. I'd like you to lift your hand if that's you right now. Heavenly Father, look on every person here whose hands are raised, and they're saying, use me. I'm available. I'm willing. I'm here for you, Lord. I'm not here just for myself. I'm not following you for what you can do for me. You've given me eternal life. I want to do for you whatever you want me to do, Lord. And here I give myself, I yield my life to you in the beautiful name of Jesus. Lord, right now, pour your spirit on every yielded heart. Pour your power, your fire, to every life. Some here, Lord, might have the handbrake on. They're moving, but with resistance. There's heel marks in their journey where it feels like they've been dragged along. I'm praying that, Lord, every one of us would stand up on our feet and start walking the walk with an internal motivation impelling us from within. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Thank you for being here this morning. Let's every one of us just lift our hands out towards God here right now. Father, touch every life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fall. Pour down. Oh, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering, would you?
Thanks for listening. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions that you have made and the great things that God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.